Good morning. I'm so glad to be with you here this morning. We arrived yesterday night and we were just a little bit, we lost direction. And then Josh, he resent us the address of the church. And then we discover we have to drive another 28 minutes to get here. And then we found Josh and his dad. They were standing outside waiting for us to welcome us to the church. I would like to give a big thank to them and to the church. It is a privilege to be with you here. My name is Nasser Kajo, Nasser Hari Kajo. I'm original from Sudan. And I think most of you, you know what is Sudan located on the map. We are in the south of Egypt. But in Sudan, we are many tribes. We are over than 600 tribes. They speak different language. But all the nation, they speak Arabic language. I am from a tribe called Nuba. Nuba Mountain. And some of you, I don't know if you read the history of a Christian Nubian kingdom long time ago. They were exist in North Sudan. That is where my ancestors come from. And then they were in North. And when the Islamic Revolution entered to Africa, they start moving to the South. And they end up to the place called Nuba Mountain, which is where they are now, the group of Nuba people. I grew up there. I born in a family which was not Christian and was not Muslim, and they was not Christian. They was just neutral religious of Africa, and they was worshiping idols until we grow up. In 1985, 83, that is where I accept Jesus Christ. And it was in a small meeting in the house in Khartoum. And the preaching, it was in Revelation chapter 9. The preacher, he was preaching in that verses. And that is where he touched my heart. It was Thursday night. And then I struggled all night thinking about accepting Jesus Christ, reject him, accept him, the eternal life. I start thinking about all what he was talking about yesterday night. And then until 3 o'clock p.m., that is where I remember exactly, I decided to give my life to Jesus Christ. And we, at that time, I was in intermediate school. I was working in morning and then go to school in evening. I was supporting myself education until I finished it. In 1985, I sit in national exam and then I pass exam. I went to high school, but the high school I went is an institute of teachers. They're training students to become a teacher of primary school. And then I went there for 4 years. And then after I graduate, I come to Khartoum because at that time, Nuba Mountain, it was ruling by Revolution Army. There is no, it was not safe for us to live there, and then we moved to Khartoum. After I graduated in 89, I started teaching in primary school, and also I joined the team that they were going out rich and contributing the Bible to the communities. But the city where we visit is entire 100%, they're Muslim. We're going to the cities where there is no Christian, there is no church. May we can have some Christian as a family, but there is no churches. We went to the east, the city called Damazin. That was the first time. And then we was reaching out, and we was preaching on the street. And then the first day, it was a group of people, they are coming out of mosque, and those they were Muslim. And they're coming just to us. And they were asking a lot of questions. and telling very bad word about us. You are infidel because you believe in Christian. And that is, you can hear that a lot if you go to Sudan before. If you're Christian or you come from America or Europe, they call you are infidel. That means you are not believe in God because you believe in Jesus Christ and they don't believe in him. And then they start stoning us. They are stoning the group, and then it was a large group. Just they come. And I remember one guy, he was in Azhar University, which is the large Islamic university in Cairo. He came and then he asked, how much is the books that you are selling? And I tell him the price. All the boxes we have it for Bible and other books, he paid the price of it. And then he took all these boxes, like 10 meters away from where we was stood. And he dropped the gasoline over them, and then they burned it. Because they don't want that book to go to hand to people that they can get safe. It was very hard time for us. And then the second trip, it was in a place called Dungula. And then in Dungula, that is where we arrest. They were arrest for many months, and then just they release us. We pay some money. And then the church in Khartoum, they collect money and they pay it to the court. And then the court, they release us. Because I was leading the team, which is 12 people. And most of them, they were student high school. And some of them, they were in college. From there, I decided to leave Sudan because I was my education, it was just at the level of high school. And I was thinking to study theology. But at that time, we didn't have any theology college in Sudan. The only place where we can go either to go to Cairo, Egypt, or to Lebanon. And then Lebanon, it was the only country they have Baptist theology. They call Arab Baptist theology in Lebanon, in Beirut. And that is where I apply, and they accept me, and then I join them. I finish my 3 years, I get bachelor, and then I start the first church in Lebanon for Sudanese, and it was growing, and we saw a grace of Lord with the sinner, those that come from Islam background, and we baptized many of them, those they were Muslim background. It was amazing to us because even we was not thinking that the Muslims, they can accept Jesus Christ, but when we start the ministry, we discover they have a hunger to hear and listen and know more about Jesus Christ. That is where I began my ministry. It was in Lebanon. And I was a student with some of the team that they are doing Christmas box. And I remember we received a Christmas box come from here. And then me and my wife, we took like 4 boxes to one Darfurian family. That family, they never heard about Jesus before. They never been in the church. They were Muslim. But they are Sudanese. And as a Sudanese, we have a very good relationship together as a community. We visit them. And then we took these boxes to their kids. We spent time with them in fellowship. And even we didn't ask them if they can come to the church because we knew that they are Muslim and they will not do it. And just when we come back, we sit down in the house and we pray. And then the next week, they come to my house. And the wife, the mom, she said, the kids, they want to come to church. If they can come, we tell them, you are welcome. And then the next Sunday, they show up in the church. And they were very happy, running and playing with Sudanese Christian Sunday school. And then they decide to come to church every Sunday. That is where the mom, she accept Jesus Christ. And then her husband follow her, and they get baptized. And that is the first time I call the Christmas box is the strong outreach to these communities. Sometimes you are doing something, it's very little, and you think there is no impact, but really it's doing a great job because it's love. Anytime there is a gift of love, the result is great. And they accept Jesus Christ, we baptize them, and they were refugees. And then they resettled. They are in Texas right now, and they are doing really wonderful. And their older son is a very good preacher. I hope if one day, but because I am not here, if he can come here and tell the testimony exactly what has happened. And then from Lebanon, I came here in 2000, April 2000. That is where the first time I arrived to United States. And we were in Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh. And then we spent there for 8 months. It was too cold for us. We can't handle it. And then we decided we was looking for a state city where it's warm a little bit. My uncle was in Memphis, Tennessee. And then he told me that we have a number of Sudanese, but we didn't have a preacher. We didn't have someone to lead us in service. Please, if you can move and come to Tennessee and we can start the church in Arabic. Because most of those refugees that were coming here, they don't speak English. Even when they go to English or English service, just they stood there and they enjoy music, but they don't understand what is preaching. And then they were looking if we can start meeting in Arabic, that they can understand what we are saying. And that is the first time. It was 2001, March 16, 2001. That was the first time we started the meeting, the church. And we called the church River Nile Baptist Church. And we were meeting in the chapel for one of Lewitt Baptist Church. They give us his place to meet. We start a very strong ministry, and that is where I meet Josh. He was in Memphis. And then when he heard about us that there is an Arabic church. And then he was looking, and he was also some of American, those they have decided to learn Arabic, and they join us in our church, one of whom, his name is David, and then Josh become a friend of my family, and then just we were in a very strong fellowship together. He is coming to church, and we go, and then I start another church in Nashville. I was preaching in morning in Memphis, and then travel to Nashville 3 hours to preach in evening to that church. And I was doing that for 2 years and 9 months until the Lord found someone from Atlanta, you know him, and then we moved him to Nashville, and he was pastoring the church of Nashville. And I remember with Josh, he has a red car, Toyota, I guess, and then we was driving a group of the church. We were going to Nashville. And then his car just kind of started smoking on a highway. And then we stopped, we put some water, and then just we finished it. It was a great, because in Nashville, it was the guy, we're celebrating, I think, Christmas. And then the two churches, they gathered together in Nashville. It was really wonderful day we spent, and the Lord did a great thing. Since that time, he moved from Memphis, and then I didn't see him. Until 2010, we meet in Jordan. I went back to Jordan to finish my master's degree in Islamic study, because that is where I was preparing myself to go back to Sudan. And then I discovered, I sent him a message, Josh, I am in Jordan. And then he said, I will be in Jordan next month. And then when he come there, we meet together again. And during that time, I didn't see him until yesterday. It was almost 10 years or 14 years, I guess. That was a great. I did that ministry, planting churches here. But in 2011, I think all of you heard about what is going on in Sudan, which is genocide that was taking place in Nuba Mountain. And a large number of people, they have been killed. The pastors have been killed. The churches have been destroyed and burned. And people, they lose most of churches building in the village. And then the people of Nuba, they start flee from Nuba. They leave Nuba, and they come to the border, a place called Yida. Yida is in South Sudan. That is where the UN, they start building the refugees camp. And I was here, and then I saw that news, and I just started praying, And I asked the Lord, I have been here for many years and people there have been struggling. I think this is a time for me to go back and share with them and be with them. In 2012, April of 2012, I took to one of my friends. They have a small Baptist church in Memphis. And I tell them, people there are struggling. They are running. They are in valley. They are in mountain. All their village have been burned. Their cattle have been just killed. And every single day, you see Antonov is coming and just throw bomb to the, all the villages, the area of Nuba. That is where no one was living in his house or in their village. Most of people, they run to the Gef, they run to the valley. And then the women and the children, they leave to Yedekim. I went there to see, because they were starving. There was no food. They was not able to go to their farm and produce the food or to plant maize or whatever, because the killing, it was all over the place of Nuba. That is where I decided to go, and then we go to Juba. I took to that church, and the church took to the other churches, small churches. They put together a mount about 47,000 or 40,000, and then two of American, those they were in Memphis, we leave to Nuba Mountain. When we go to Juba, we buy a food, about 35 ton of food, and then we ship it, we drop it to Nuba Mountain. And then we come. And it was very dangerous for us to go, because if you're driving and the dust is show on the air, they can send Antonov immediately to bump what was going on. And then just we was praying, and then the Lord protect us until we reach there. We drop the food, and then we come back. When we are coming back, that is where the ministry starts, because on the way, we found a large number of people, they live in their home. Because Nuba Mountain, they are 99 tribe, different tribe. And all this area were just bombing. And they destroy all the village and whatever. And then people there was living, they walk for 3 days, 4 days on their feet to reach the Yedek camp, because the distance is too far. And we discover the young kids, like 3 years, they walk on their feet because no one can carry them, and there is no transport, there is no vehicle, there is no anything. Just they walk and they get a rest, and then they continue. We pick them up with the trucks that we unloaded with food, and we pick up a large number of them. We drop them in Ida. When we come to Ida, we spend night, and then in morning, we took a round in Ida. That is where I discover it was a tree. Even that tree, there was not a lot of leaf on it, just they were using. And it was under the tree, 220-something kids mixed with different age. And that was classroom for a school. Someone was just a son in front of them and teaching them. And the blackboard, it was the old car door. The rest of the car was just broke, and then they used the door. And they just handled it on the tree, and they was use it as a blackboard. And then they used a piece of charcoal. That was the one they was using to read, because they have nothing. And all these kids, they were sitting on the ground. And then when I come back, that is where I start sharing with the churches. There is a need for these people. And the need is not just education, it's not just peace. There is a need also for gospel to be proclaimed to these people. Because in Nuba Mountain, we have 85% of population, they are Muslim. And paganism, not religious, they are not Christian. We have a few number of these people, they are Christian, and one of them is my tribe. This is the only tribe. We have like 100% people, they are Christian and they are in the church. But the other 97 tribes, they are Muslim and they are just neutral religious worshiper. And I said, the Lord, this is a very good opportunity, because you brought these people together in this refugee camp. And that is where you can show them your love and your salvation. And you have to use us much as you can. That is where I went back. I came here, and then I was in Kentucky sharing in the small church. I remember people, they were like 12 or 15 members. that we I need help to provide salary for teachers that I can open. I start with the school. And then the old lady, she was a teacher, and she said, okay, I will provide every month $150 to be paid for teacher. That can be useful. And I tell her now, the school start. Immediately I call back and I ask them, you guys, you have to build 4 classrooms, grade 1, A and B, and grade 2, A and B. And they start building. They build four classrooms. That is where we start bringing a student in. And we discover in one class, it was over than 60 students just in one classroom. And there is no seat, there is no anything, but we use the wood. I hope we will have it in the picture. And then we start that with classes. And every year we build it up until we reach class 8, which is the final system of education. Primary start from grade 1 to grade 8, and then they have to sit for national exam to go to high school. And then when they did it, we finish it, and then we start high school. And the Lord was just opening the doors. We didn't just doing a school, but we start also a church in Ida. We start the First Baptist Church in Ida, which is in the property of a school. And then we use it because the school is attached to the Christian. And then the church, it was a chapel. Students, they have to go to church every day. That means the church, it was just opening, open for students all day and all the week. Because class one and two, they have to go for 1 hour. They get out, 3 and 4, they go inside and they come out. That is where we were teaching them and training them and sending them the love of Christ. I would love to go to the pictures and we can see some what we are doing.
Want me to do it?
Yeah. Very good. Okay. You can see that is the one of a school. This is a girls. Actually, the uniform come from here. I was in a store selling clothes and different things from Costa Rica, we discovered. And then I was with my son. My son was very little at that time. And then we was walking, and he was speaking some of Hispanic language. He learned it from, he learned it. And then we found the lady, she from Spanish. And then he was saying, hola. And even I don't know what he was saying. And then the lady just turned and she asked, where are you from? And then we was just telling her we're from Sudan. And we have a ministry, a school, and we want to buy this. And then she said, okay, I will pay. You just take much as you can. You can take it to Sudan, and I will pay the price. And she's the one pay for the T-shirt. And then we took it, we give it to the girls. It was not enough for all the schools, and then just we give it to the girls. Those girls actually, their parents are not educated. Most of them, they live with mom. Their parents, they are not in Ida because they are in field back in Nuba Mountain. They are fighting against the regime government of Sudan. And then in Ida refugees came, you can just see the kids, children, and women. But it's very hard to see the men because they are not there. And that is one of, we can go ahead. That is our church in Juba. And that was the first church, which is Juba First Baptist Church. You can see the kids. That is not all the number of the kids. We have over than 170-something Sunday school children in the church. And the building, we have it. Actually, it's not big enough. It can hold only 200 people with the chairs. And then because we have a school in the building, then we are using classrooms for Sunday school and for this student. The Christmas box is the one of outreach that we are receiving every year in our church in Juba. Not just for our church, but there are many churches. Those are receiving what you are sending out to the people. You don't see them, and even you didn't experience how they're looking like, but the small amount that you are using to put things in the box is a big blessing to the families in Sudan. And it's not just in Sudan. I believe this Christmas box is going all over the world. And it is very, very, very big blessing. I'm glad that this church is part of that ministry. That is wonderful. That is a primary school. And you can see we have 1,700 students just in primary school. 1,700. We were close to 2,000. But they start another camp in other region called Ajuan, and then some families, they move there. That is where the number is reducing. And it's still, some families, they are moving, and the number is reducing. But at that time, we used to have, and that is the teachers, I am funding them. I am coming here to raise money and to pay teachers' salary. And their salary starts from $150 a month up to $300. That is for primary school. And that is where, when I come here, I'm moving to the church and doing kind of that fundraising that I can be able to pay for teachers and they can continue teaching this school, because they didn't have anything to pay it for a school, like a school fee that they can study. They are refugees, there is no income, they're dependent on UN to give them food and provide them water in that camp. There is no any work for people they can do to support their kids. And we used to have over than 21,000 kids with no education in that refugee camp. And still, we have a large number. They are running in camp because there is no enough rooms for them in the class where we can get them. And some of them, they go to the other village, and that is very hard. You see, like 10 years old, 11 years old, they're leaving their family, and they're going to another village, and they don't know someone because they're seeking for education. And when you ask those, what is your need? They didn't have enough food, they didn't have clothes, they didn't have health, but when you ask them what you want, they said, we want education. We want to school. We want to go to school. We want to get educated. That is why I decided to start this ministry with the schools. It's the same. All these pictures is just in that refugees. Okay. In 2013, we started the first church. And that church, it was Juba First Baptist Church. That is, was in Juba. Juba is a capital city of South Sudan. I think most of you guys, you don't know, but if you go to Google, you can search South Sudan or Nuba Mountain, and you can see more what I'm talking about in the history, because I have everything online. We start the first church in Juba, which is the First Baptist Church. It was in the central of the city. And then I bought a land 15 miles away from the city, and that is where I built the house. And then we start build another church. It was the second church, which we start in Juba. Those people, you see them. That is River Nile. I think most of you heard about the River Nile. It's the longest river in the world, which is the River Nile. Most of these people, we baptize them. It's not the first group. And I think this is a fourth group we baptized, and they were about 17. Most of them, they are Muslim background. They were not Christian. They were Muslim. And they are not from Nuba. They are not from South Sudan. They're from Darfur. And Darfur region is known as a stronger Islamic group in the world. But when the genocide, the war started in Sudan, and then al-Bashir, the government of Sudan, the president of Sudan at that time, his name is al-Bashir, Omar al-Bashir, They start bombing Darfur as well as Nuba Mountain. The people of Darfur, they are Muslim, but they are African. And the government in North, they are Muslim, but they are Arab. Darfurian, they discover, okay, if we are Muslim, and those people that are killing us, they are Muslim, then what is the other religious we can believe, what we can do, where we can go? That is where the Lord start they thinking about the other religious. And the missionaries, those they come from here, they was doing relief from USA. It was a large number, different churches. They went to Darfur. They distributing food, and they was giving the Bibles to the people. Those are Muslim, and they doing reach out undercover. That is where the Lord opened the eyes of Darfurian to see that Islamic or Islam is not a reality religious, and that is not the religion we can still continue belief on it. The large number of Muslims, they start leaving Islam and they accept Jesus Christ as a savior. And then when you ask them why you do that, they said we are Muslim and Muslims are killing us. And we don't know why we are going through genocide. If they kill Christian, we will say because they are Christian and they have to get killed, but we are Muslim. Now what we have to do? They discover there is no other way. And I think that is the Lord used that war to open the eyes of these people that they can come back. Now we have 100,000 of Muslims in Darfur. They live in Islam and they are coming to Jesus Christ. And one of our church, one of our pastors, we ordained him in Cairo because we have a church in Cairo, which is a First Baptist church in Cairo. We ordained him and now he is in Darfur. We have 47 house churches, because in Darfur you can't build the church like this. They have to meet in the house, and then a small groups in the house. And we have over than 47, because every month the number is increasing. He's doing incredible work there, and the Holy Spirit is moving among that nation. And for next 15 years, the half of population of Darfurian, they will be a Christian community, because they decide no more believing in Islam. Those they are in Juba, we baptized them, they were in Juba. And we are doing, we have a team that they call Islamic study. We teach them Quran and we show them the mistake that Quran has it and what is happening. And there are some things they are not talking about. And one of verses that they have it in Quran, that the black people will not go to heaven, whatever, if they believe or they don't believe, they will not go to the heaven. And it's written in Quran. But people, they hide it from this believer. When those guys, they discovered that, and then just the entire family, they leave Islam and they believe in Jesus Christ and they come to the church. They have very, very strong church. For Darfurian, pure Darfurian churches, over than 200. All of them, they just say, come from Islamic background, and I am doing disciple, baptize them, running their marriage, because still they didn't have ordained pastor. I'm the one who is just helping them with everything. And we took 12 of them to the training school, Bible training school. Soon they graduate, then they will take over the ministry. And the Lord is doing really very great thing. This mom, she is from Darfur. Her daughter, she accept Jesus Christ, and husband accept Jesus Christ, and then she was living with them. And then they reach out to her. She is 79 or close to 80. And then even she don't know Arabic. She speaks just Darfurian language. She don't know Arabic, she don't know English. And then she has very, very strong testimony. If she stood in the church to tell her testimony to the church, she started crying before she said any word. She said, I'm very sorry because I waste all my age doing something else. And if I knew that long time ago, I was supposed to give my life to Jesus Christ and serve him and worship him and enjoy the peace that I have it in my life right now. And I will be very happy to die right now because I have eternal life and I don't carry any death or anything else. She has very, very strong testimony. And this one, it was in a city called Wau. Wau is in Western City in South Sudan. That is where we have four churches in that city. And we baptize, this guy, he's a deacon of the church. He get baptized at that time, him and his wife and two daughters for him. But the total of number, there were 47 people. We baptized them in one time at that time. I don't know if we have them in the picture. You can just go. This one, you see it was in Juba. Again. Okay. Maybe. I think that's it. Okay. Yeah. But it was a picture of 47. We are in the river called Ranu River, which is a green tea in Arabic river. And then we baptized them. The church there is growing very well. The community of Wau City is the second large city in South Sudan after capital city, which is Juba. But the problem is the first ministry, the first church, you start there, it was Catholic church. And then most of people, they're Christian, but they don't practice the faith, the Christian. They don't act like Christian life. They live very normal life. They go to the church on Sunday, but when they come, they get out of the church, there is no difference between them and those they don't accept Jesus Christ. It's just very normal. And that is where we start this ministry. And now we have a large number and they're coming to the church. When they visit our church the first time, they never go out again. They remain with us. That is why the church is increasing, and we have four churches, and we have some house churches in that city. As well, we have a church in city called Yambio. It's all the way west of west. And we have another church in city called Anzara. And we have another church in a small city called Kidi. And we have also a church in a city called Meridi and the city called Mundri. That is where we have a Baptist church. And it is the first time for Baptist ministry to start. That is why we call the Juba First Baptist Church. It was the first Baptist church to start in the South Sudan at that time. And now we are growing and the church is just moving on. We cover most of cities of South Sudan and then in Nuba Mountain. And then 2 months ago, we started another church in Khartoum, in capital city of Khartoum. That is now we are working to found a place where we can meet because still we are meeting in the house. We didn't have a land where we can meet. In general, the ministry is growing very well, and we appreciate. It's not us, but it's the Lord. And the vision was just we are going to start with something very small. And then we discover the Lord. He's just developing the ministry and the church multiply. Now we have a total of 21 churches in Sudan, South Sudan, and Nuba Mountain, and 44 or more than that in Darfur, which is church houses. I don't know how things will be for next 10 years, but just we are praying. The most of thing is that I will need a church to pray for it. We are starting another high school inside Nuba Mountain because Nuba Mountain, there is no schools. We have a primary schools, but there is no high school. And the reason I want to start another high school, we are building high school and then the church. And also we are digging the well of water because there is no, the sources of water is very hard to get a water in Nuba Mountain. People, they live, they stay for 3-4 hours to pump the water. And the line, you can find over than 500, 600 people, they are waiting there to pump the water. But the project that I want to do is to high school and then the church and the conference center in the same area. But we need to have water as well. That is now I am just moving and I'm asking people to pray for that. Because by April or May, that must be in the ground by faith. We have no anything yet, but I believe as the Lord do all this, he's able to continue and do the things. How, where, we don't know. But the only thing is our eyes just must be focused on him. And we believe because it's ministry and there is no anything I can concern about it. He's the one who will provide everything. So I will need the church to pray. My family are still here in Memphis. I can't take them with me because it's not secure. It's not still safe. There is still insecurity issues going on. And we think it's better for my son to be here and he can go to the school and get the better education here. Because even if I take them to somewhere, still he will struggle because he's born here and it will be very hard for him to live there right now at this age until he grow up. That is a brief of what we are doing in the ministry and what is the Lord is doing. I will be here until December 10, and then I will be going back to Khartoum, and then from Khartoum to Nuba Mountain, and then to Ida, and then I will be going to South Sudan, that is where the headquarters of our ministry. Our ministry called River Nile Baptist Center. That is an organization that we are running all this under it. River Nile Baptist Center ministry, that is the headquarters in Yuba. And then we are operating in many different places. I have very wonderful pastors that they are working with me and they are pastoring all these churches and they are helping for things just to put them together. I will thank you so much again, Pastor David. It was a privilege for me to come and share with you and see you. Long time I didn't see you guys. Thank you so much and God bless you. I don't know if anyone have a question, that will be okay. Because I didn't cover anything. If there is anything you think you want to ask, you can just go ahead and ask the question.